If you heard hour number one, that was a really good hour. Really good hour. Because we had Jerry Tillery and Cain Velasquez, two excellent interviews, and now the second hour is wide open. So hit me up, Eddie Olchek, next hour. Lots to get to. I would love for you to be a part of it. I can easily carry this hour by myself, but I'm trying to get you in here, trying to get you to interact, trying to get you to make a difference, trying to get you to get a golden ticket. The 25th Smack Off is coming up. I mean, damn, that's coming fast. If spring is right around the corner and the Smack Off is usually a summertime event, you don't have nearly as much time as you think. Get qualified. You can't win it unless you're in it. Cain Velasquez fighting for the first time in 31 months. Also, I want to reiterate, he's fighting Sunday night. That's a Sunday night fight in Arizona. 1-800-636-8686. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Also, this just in, statistician Dave, who got destroyed by Joe, is a friend of Rich Ackerman's. Of course. You know why that is? Because the Ack is the most connected man in all of NYC. When I go to New York, if I need anything at all, you might logically think, who would you hit up? Vance Mack? Boomer Esiason? Ordinarily. And then I met Rich Ackerman. If I need anything at all when I'm in New York City, that's where I go. The Ack. The most connected man in the Apple. All right, 1-800-636-8686. I want to talk about Matt Kuchar, and I will get there in a minute. But there are certain callers that do not wait. Some for the right reasons, some for the wrong reasons. This guy pretty much is both. But notice he does not wait. R-E-X in the ABQ. Rex in Albuquerque. What's going on, Rex?
Hey, Romy, hope you're doing well. So it looks like Matt Kuchar has his wallet on lock. He wins the Mayakoba Classic in November, breaking his streak of four winless seasons with the help of a knowledgeable local caddy nicknamed El Toucan, and pockets $1.3 million in the process. Now, the tour standard going back to Arnie and Jack is to pay your caddy 10% of your earnings on a win. But instead of chipping off El Toucan $130,000 for his services, $5,000 spills out of Cooch's pocket, and he decides to call it good. Thanks for your help, Toucan. Oh, and then Cooch starts flapping his oversized gums and goes with the making 5,000 is a pretty good week blast. So is the $46 million you've earned in your career, not including endorsements, Matty. This guy is making Taunt look like Phil Mickelson peeling off hundies to everybody he sees in the locker room. And then to make matters worse, Cooch's agent, who is also Tiger's agent, calls El Toucan to offer him another $10,000 to make the story go away. Toucan then proceeds to tell Steiny to shove up his earth and walks away. Nice. Wore the Toronto Argos signing perennial all-star Poop Johnson to their roster. Poop may have gotten his nickname by hitting the stall five times a day, but I say those are rookie numbers. He needs to pump those numbers up. And if he's in a goal line stand where he needs to crouch down to lower that center of gravity, I'm fine if he has to blow mud on his linebacker to prevent a touchdown.
And that'll be enough, Rex.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Rex, you did a couple of things that are going to make my job a lot more difficult. Number one, you're talking about this guy blowing mud on a linebacker. That's not helping him, Rex. That's hurting him. And number two, I got to admit, Rex, that straight take on Kuchar might be as good as mine. Almost. All right, so let me cover those two things. That's very strange that that's where he went. Then again, not so strange, right? For Rex, that is his brand. Blowing mud. And he hit Kuchar. I was actually going to put those two things into a take myself. So let me start by saying that there is a story, and I'm aware of that story. And I don't need you or Rex to tell me about that story. I am aware that a certain CFL team has signed a certain player. And I don't need you or Rex to tell me about that. Now, first off, while the show is broadcasting Canada, typically I do not talk CFL. And I certainly would not devote an entire take to the signing of a defensive lineman by the name of Corey Johnson. I know Toronto is revamping their D-line, but that does not mean I'm going to get into this story. And if you don't know what I'm talking about or why I'm not going to talk about it, good. But because of Rex, you know exactly why I'm not talking about it. Let's keep it that way. Just don't Google that nickname and then come running back to me about how hilarious it is and how he got that nickname. Unless you're in first grade or your name is Rex in Albuquerque. See, when I talk, what I will talk about is another one of your favorite topics. There's a certain list that allegedly includes guys like Scott Pippen, Pete Sampras, Tiger Woods. Now, under normal circumstances, anybody would be proud to be mentioned in their company. Wouldn't you want to be on that list? One of the 50 greatest NBA players of all time. The man formerly recognized as the greatest male tennis player of all time. And the man who could have been the greatest golfer of all time. That's amazing company, right? Wrong. Because in addition to being legends in their sports, they're also famous for allegedly being greedy and cheap. And now, if reports are true, you can add another name to that list. And again, that is not an easy list to get onto. Do you know how cheap you have to be to get onto that list? Do you know how bad of a tipper you have to be to get onto that list? Matthew Gregory Kuchar. Governmented for all the wrong reasons. Matt Kuchar is a good golfer. Even a very good golfer. But Matt Kuchar is getting a lot of bad press right now for a very good reason. Let's go ahead and set the stage. Back in November, he wins a tournament in Mexico. As Rex pointed out, that was his first win in 4 years. He did it with a local caddy, David Ortiz, instead of his regular caddy, John Wood. Now, the win was huge for Kuchar because it earned him nearly $1.3 million. This is where it gets interesting. The typical deal is that a player gives his caddy 5% of the winnings as a bonus, a higher percentage if it's a top 10 finish, and 10% for the win. Industry standard, that's what's accepted. So I break out my calculator. And Ortiz is looking at something in the neighborhood of 130 grand. 130 grand. And knowing how badly Kuchar needed that win, wanted that win, you've got to assume that he couldn't have been happier than to hook this guy up with that amount of money, right? In fact, I've heard other stories of guys that will go over the 10% because it was so big and so important. So Ortiz is on his bag. Kuchar gets his first win in nearly a half a decade, and he makes nearly $1.3 million, so he's got to chip off Ortiz $1.30 and feel good about it, right? So, how much did he pay Ortiz? Hey, go ahead, Alvin, if you have a drum roll way back in there somewhere. Industry standard would have been 10%. And even more if you're a good guy. 130 grand. Instead, Ortiz gets 5 grand. He chipped him off 5 gur. You just won 1.3 mil, and you paid your caddy 5 grand. Not only that, but Ortiz told golf.com that after he and Kuchar posed for photos following the win, Matt handed him an envelope with cash and said, quote, "There you go. Thank you. Bye." And then after the story hit social media and generated some steam, Ortiz said that he was offered an extra 15 grand by Kuchar and his reps. But he turned that down because he felt like he was owed more. And my response is, and I know some of you dopes will come in here and say, hey, man, that's on him. He turned it down. Let me tell you something. He turned it down and said he was owed more, and he's right. Hell yes, he's owed more. Let me give you some context. Ortiz isn't even saying that he wants the normal 10%. He's not even saying he wants the normal tour rate. And again, the normal tour rate would have been 130 grand. This guy was looking for 50. 50. Still an amazing bargain for Kuchar's first win in 4 years. 130 would have been standard. This guy's looking for 50 and can't get anywhere near that. So Kuchar, what's his excuse? What's his story, right? Maybe something was taken out of context. Maybe there was some sort of arrangement that we don't know about. Here's what Kuchar says. He says their deal was for a flat rate, $3,000. $3,000 for the week, a bonus that could bump it all the way up to $4,000. And that by giving him $5,000, he was exceeding the deal that was in place, and that offering an extra 15 was actually incredibly generous. And here's a little more context. According to golf.com, quote, Ortiz lives in a small cinder block house that is a 20-minute bus ride to the course. He said with a more substantial payment, he and his common-law wife had hoped to start a laundromat. As for the $5,000 he made, Ortiz said most of it had been spent on painting the house, buying new curtains and a mirror for it, and flying his young daughter home from Veracruz, Mexico for Christmas. End of quote. So what's Kuchar's side of this? Kuchar, on the other hand, has made more than $46 million in career earnings. 10th on the all-time career money list. That's just earnings. That's not even endorsements. So he's 10th all-time on the career money list. And right now, my man is barreling past Pistol Pete and No Tippin' Pippin' on the all-time cheapskate list, the all-time stingy list. I mean, was Ortiz worth it? Hell yes, he was worth it. Kuchar had no wins in the last 4 years. And then he gets a win with Ortiz. Man, give this guy his 10%. And then some. Hell, even if you don't think it was worth it, and it was, maybe you write the check just to make this go away. Because now you not only look cheap, stingy, you look like an idiot. You look idiotic. No wonder one anonymous player told GolfChannel.com that Kuchar's payout was, quote, embarrassing. Because it is. But you know how this goes, right? The story's quiet for a while, then it bubbles up, and then Kuchar and his team come to their senses, and they get shamed into making things right for the caddy. Wrong again. Because this is what Kuchar said yesterday. Quote, it's done. Listen, I feel like I was fair and good. You can't make everybody happy. You're not going to buy people's ability to be okay with you. And this seems to be a social media issue more than anything. I think it shouldn't be, knowing that there was a complete agreed upon deal that not only did I meet, but exceeded. End quote. Man, holy crap. Holy crap. That's exactly how not to handle that. That is the worst playbook this guy could run. He went on to say this, quote, so, I certainly don't lose sleep over this. This is something I'm quite happy with. And I was really happy for him to have a great week and make a good sum of money. Making $5,000 is a great week, end quote. Dude, please tell me that you did not really say after winning $1.3 million. Than making $5,000 is a great week. The only thing missing from the end of that sentence was, making $5,000 is a great week, especially for somebody who lives in a cinder block house. But not only was that all wrong and how he handled that, he wasn't even done. Quote, it's kind of too bad that it's turned into a story. I really didn't think it was a story because we had an arrangement when I started. I've done enough tournaments and had enough weekly caddies, and I'm very clear about what the payment will be. And we had an arrangement Tuesday that David was okay with, and I thought Sunday he was very much okay with it. I kind of feel like, unfortunately, some other people have got it in his head that he's deserving something different than what we agreed upon. And it's just too bad that it's turned into a story because it doesn't need to be. We had a great week, end quote. We had a great week. You had a great week. My man, it turned into a story because you made it a story. It's a story because you didn't handle your business. Again, even if you think he's jamming you, maybe you pay this man his money. you made 46 mil. 50 grand, I should say, is a rounding error. It's in your couch cushions. Let me tell you something. That kind of money would change that guy's life. The kind of money that anybody else would have made absolutely would change that guy's life. And maybe not just his life, maybe his kids' lives too. I mean, wouldn't you like that to be the story? Wouldn't that be a great story? I found this guy. He was a weekly caddy. I got my first win in 4 years. I chipped him off the 10% that everybody gets. And my man bought a house. My man's life was changed generationally. Wouldn't that be an amazing story? But no, you stick to your deal. You stick to your deal. You stick to the deal that you negotiated with him. Hey, and by the way, was that deal, hey, David, if I win $1.3 million, I'll give you an extra $2,000 on top of the three that we agreed to. Man, I hope that wasn't your deal. Because if that's your deal, man, that's a jackass move. Yeah, I know we agreed to $3,000, but I made $1.3 million. Here's $2,000 for you, bro. So you did have a great week. You had a great week, and then you went and ruined it. I mean, my man, you can't be this dumb, right? And when you're facing heat for it, you're not really going to stick to your guns on this one, are you, Matt? You're not going to really stick to, we had a deal, are you? Is that the hill you want to stake your reputation on? Man, tell me that's not what you're doing, Matt, because it sure looks like it. You had a chance for an awesome story, Matt. One where you get your first win in a long time and you change your caddy's life. Bro, that's Hollywood stuff right there. That's a Hollywood movie right there. Instead, you turned your first win in 4 years into a gigantic L. That is not the hill you want to die on. Except that's exactly the hill you're dying on. Welcome to the club. Kutcher. A club that you do not want to be in.
Kutcher.
Yo, meet Tiger. Meet Scott. Meet your bros. That is not a club you want to be in. And given how rich all these guys are, that's not a club that any of them should be in. And don't come in here and say, well, how do you think they got rich? Not by being cheapskate tippers, believe me. Bad story. All right, when we come back, hey, clones, do what you want with that. I'm not talking about a guy whose nickname is Poop. But if you want to talk about a bad tipper, go right ahead. Not only did he get caught, he stuck to his guns. And is staying with that story. Kutcher. Eddie Olczyk, next hour. I may get to the Lakers today if I can. I definitely want to talk about what's going on with Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. All of that still ahead. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right, so a lot of reaction to that last take that I had. This says, this email is good. This email just reads, this could single-handedly ruin Cooch's nice guy rep that makes him so marketable for advertising. Fan favorite to greedy bum in one fell swoop. Joe in Westbrook, Maine. Thanks. You're right, Joe. You're exactly right. I mean, I'm not saying that every single one of his corporate partners is going to see this and say, nope, we're done. But how do you, this is a really popular guy. How do you hear a story like that and not see this guy differently? I mean, I didn't know this guy was like this. I don't know the guy, but I had a perception of the guy. I had an opinion of the guy, and that's not what I expected. I wouldn't expect any of these guys to be like that. Eldrick maybe, because he's already got a rep for being one of the cheapest guys ever. But I didn't think that Kuchar would do something like this. I didn't think of that guy like that. See, and not only did he do it, but when it went down, he stuck to his guns. I mean, bad enough to do something like this, but then when it gets out, how do they say, no, you know what? We're digging in. Stick to our guns. We're right. He's wrong. And why was he right and they're wrong? Because, quote, we had a deal. We had a deal. He seemed to be happy about his deal on Sunday. We had a deal. Right, Cooch, you had a deal. And then you went out and you won $1.3 million. So then the deal changed. or at least the deal would change. Matthew, if you had a heart and a brain. And also, by the way, bro, it's not like you were racking up wins before this. You can't say this guy had nothing to do with it. You can't say this guy didn't make a difference because you hadn't won in 4 years. It sure seems like he made a difference. And at the same time, how does somebody in that group, never mind the guy should know this on his own if you have half a brain, but how does somebody not think two things? Let's do the right thing and do right by this guy. And even if you don't want to do the right thing, say you're a bad guy, but you're at least smart. Wouldn't you ask yourself, what if it gets out? What if it gets out, and how bad of a look would that be? You think right now dealing with this, wouldn't 50 grand be a cheap price to pay to make it go away? And remember, 50 grand still isn't even half of what he should have paid him. Not even close. 50 grand is still him getting off. It's him getting over. It's him getting off cheaply. And still 50 grand would have made this whole thing go away. And 50 grand would have been a good price to pay just to get me not to do that take. But still, that's the hill they want to die on. How was Kuchar or his agent Steinberg or somebody in that group not smart enough to realize that? Forget the karma part of this. Forget the kind of cosmic thing going on. The karma thing. At some point, a move like that, a story like that. See, these guys are clearly about the money. Forget the karma. Something like this could end up costing you way more money than you're saving. Have you thought about that? Not only could it come back to bite you in the ass, it could come back to cost you way more money. And apparently that is the thing you care most about. So you lose again. Man, that is a weird story. It's just understood. You win, you chip off 10%, and you're happy to do it. And don't come in here and talk to me about, hey, Rome, 10%. I'm in a business where we pay our agents, our managers, our attorneys percentages every month. I'm not going to be like the talent that complains about that, but we chip off a percent every month of our paychecks. I understand. All right. I work in the industry where you lose a lump sum every month. And I'm not talking about Uncle Sam. I'm talking Uncle Sam and then the team. So believe me, I'm in the business of chipping off. I do know. Don't come in and say, hey, Rome, would you give up 10% of your check? Yes. Yes. More than that every month. Yes. I understand. I live that life. So don't bring that around here either. What he was asking for, the caddy, was 3.9%. 3.9%. He would have been happy with that. How do you not want to change a guy's life? I mean, wouldn't that be an awesome story? Wouldn't that make Cooch feel great? No, having the money in the pocket made him feel great. I don't know. Hope that was worth it. You made 46 mil in prize money. How much more did he make in endorsements? Money he'll never get to. I mean, my man's got unbelievable corporate partners. Skechers, NetJets, Bridgestone, you know, blue chip companies. And he earned it. He earned it. Good player, good guy. But chip off somebody else who did the job, who's a lot less fortunate, living in a cinder block house. And the $5K, where did that money go? To painting the house, buying curtains, and getting his young daughter a plane ticket home for the holidays. And not only that, if you're going to make the argument, yeah, well, how important could the guy really have been? After the win, Kuchar called him his, quote, lucky charm, and did exactly what I needed him to do for the win. This email reads, hey, Jim, Matt Kuchar's caddy did not receive a return that was commensurate with his investment of time and resources. Yours, Geisha House Hollywood. Drew in West LA. See, that's dirty, Drew, but I'll own it. Hey, Drew, if you're going to crack me for my investments, especially my restaurant investments, at least get them right. Geisha was the only one that threw a check. That was the worst part, man. Geisha threw a check, and I was so excited that I could not wait to give that group all sorts of my money for other restaurants because I loved it. And, of course, none of the other ones threw checks. Ketchup did for a little bit. Ketchup in Hollywood. But none of the other geishas, nothing else. And last I checked, although I was not a part of it. See, another example why I'm okay to talk about this. I was not a part of it. There was a big lawsuit where investors were trying to get their money back. I'm like, I went in with my eyes wide open. I knew it was a risky investment. I didn't try to get my money back. I just like going to geisha and getting a good table and getting some checks. You know what my favorite part about that whole thing was? So Janet and I go to geisha one night, roll up, feeling pretty good about myself, a little bit younger. You know, what kind of car I drove back then might have mattered to me. Drop it off with the valet. And I'm walking around like I'm important, like, hey, yo, I'm an investor. Hey, yo, I'm an investor in this restaurant. You know how important I was? I was so important that when they brought my car back, this dude, you're going to like this, Rex. Rex in the ABQ, you'll like this take. This guy brings me my car back and just lets out, like, leaves unbelievable flatulence in my car for me. I'm an investor in the restaurant. I'm like, bro, did you just dump in my car? I mean, that's horrible. Crop dusted my sled. And I don't think he can tell me the guy didn't know who I was because I was the all-important investor. Hey, Drew, why don't you work that into that take next time? Homeboy crop dusted my luxury sled as a, I was probably technically, honestly, when we say, quote, investor, I'll bet you I owned. Like Matt Kuchar would like this number. Maybe one half of 1% of the restaurant. Maybe I owned 1% of the restaurant. And probably not even 1% of the restaurant. I think I owned 0.5% of Geisha House with my investment. And for that, what do I have to show? Some valet bro crop dusting my luxury sled. Windows up, heat on. Guarantee you, man, when I left, Janet and I were like crying and throwing up in the car. This guy was probably back with his bros. And you know I tipped him out huge because the last thing I want are valets talking about me the way I'm talking about Kuchar and Scott Pippen. Kuchar. So you know I tipped him out. I tipped him out only to find out he turned the heat on, the heated seats, left the windows up, and crop dusted the car. And because I was a, quote, investor, I know. I don't remember exactly what I gave him, but I know I hooked the kid up. I just know it. Because I was the investor. I wanted those guys to be like, hey, Rome's in the house. Rome's a good dude. Rome's one of the cool investors. Let's crop dust his car. Man, and how hard do you think that guy laughed? He and the other bros were probably like, dude, we did him so dirty. I guarantee that bro not only said, dude, not only did I do him dirty, dude, he chipped me off $100. He paid for that.
Laugh out loud.
There you go, Drew. Drew in West LA. Was that what you were looking for, Drew? When we come back, I gotta get back on track, man. We are way over late. It's getting away from me. Still ahead, hour number three, Edzo. Eddie Olczyk will be my guest. Time now for a sports update. Here you go.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Let's talk some baseball collusion in a minute. First, this guy writes, Rome, I'm sitting at my desk crying, laughing right now on your fart in the car take. It makes it that much funnier that it's one of my favorite tricks to pull. Nothing more satisfying than having all your bros have to stick their heads out the window and gasp for air. Welcome to the Victim Club, Rome. Signed, Aaron in Omaha. Wore Janet carrying around barf bags every time Rome gets valet parking. You know, I'm not saying that it doesn't happen. I'm not saying it doesn't happen to me. I mean, of course it happens with you and your boys. I didn't think that it would happen on a freezing cold night in the dead of winter at a restaurant that I was one of the investors in. I thought I was safe that night. I mean, sure, it could happen to anybody at any time. It could happen to me at any restaurant. I just didn't think it would happen to me that night at that restaurant. Why? Because I was one of the owners of the restaurant. I thought I was safe. I mean, you know what that'd be like? That'd be like me finishing up the show and Hawk saying to me, hey, boss, I warmed up your car for you. Hey, Hawk, that's totally unnecessary. Why would you do that? When in reality, he got in the car and he crop dusted it. It's the same thing, right? of course it could happen to me. I'm not above it. I'm not better than that. Hell, I probably deserve it, right? I just didn't think it would happen to me at a restaurant where I had an ownership stake. I thought I was fine that night. And that point about having your bros stick their heads out the window, that was part of the problem, man. It was freezing. What a wuss. Dude, 30 is cold for us in California. If you're a California native, if you're from Los Angeles the way I am, when it drops into the 30s, that's really freaking cold. We're not driving with our windows open. Except Janet and I were like dogs with our heads hanging out the window as we were crying and throwing up. Again, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because I'm not 12, but you got to work pretty hard. You know, the time it took for that guy to get in the car and drive it from where it was to me was maybe 1 second. You got to work pretty hard to time that crop dust the way he did. I guarantee these guys were setting it up. From the second I pulled in there for an 8 o'clock reservation, for the next 2 hours, they're like, hey, man, let me know when Rome's coming out. I have to kind of set it up. And there's probably that one guy in the valet team that could always set it up, set like his bodily excretions up for it. These guys are probably like tweeting each or texting each other. All right, target on the move. Here they come. Or they got the check. They tipped. She's going to the bathroom. He's looking at his phone. All right, they're on the move. They're coming. Hey, Mr. Rome, how was your dinner? Great, bro. Great. Thanks a lot, man. Your car will be right out. I got your nightcap in the car for you, Rome. Do you have a nightcap, sir? No, we're about to get one. They set that thing up, man. Never mind setting it up that night. They probably would come in every single night and look at the reservation roster. Is Rome in tonight? No, damn. When is that guy coming back? Is he? Yes! Yes, he's here! Bang! Bang! He's in the restaurant. What car did he bring? Oh, hell yes. Chris tweets, the crop dusting valet driver was Mark in Hollywood's best role. It was not Mark. Jungle Jim. As a former tour caddy for 18 years, I cannot thank you enough for shedding light on this subject. He deserves the torching. Wake up, tour players. You have it good. Karma is a bitch. Bruce in Riverside, 3 reasons why Matt Kuchar. Hey, you think I did that guy wrong? Believe me. The best thing that ever happened to Kuchar is me telling that valet story afterwards and running that misdirection for him. Kuchar. I'm actually picking him up. 3 things about Kuchar. 1, do the right thing. He didn't do that. 2, it is karma. Wouldn't you do that just for purposes of karma? If not the right thing, then karma. Because you jerk with the universe, it's going to come back and jerk with you. And 3, if you don't care about doing the right thing, you don't care about karma, or you don't believe in karma, 3, what if it gets out? What if that story gets out? And it did. So now he's got all 3 strikes against. He did the wrong thing, he jerked with karma, and it got out. $50,000 to make all that go away would have been the best money he ever spent. Rome. Cooch played a perfect no-nonsense career. Loved by everyone, never caused drama, definitely a crowd favorite on the tracks. Then his cheap ass tips his caddy less than 1% after his first win in 4 years. What a bag. Damasio in Albuquerque. I don't know, way less than 1%. Way less. This guy just gave me point 4. 1, do the right thing. 2, don't jerk with karma. 3, what if it gets out? And 4, this guy was beloved. This guy was beloved. Fan favorite. Everybody loved him. wrecked his reputation. See, it's starting already. A former tour caddy of 18 years said, thanks for pointing that out. Stucknuts in. If your name rhymes with rat, you better not be one. Matt the Rat. It's starting already. Matt the Rat, Cooch the Douche. Rebel tweets, how dare that Koepka guy be cheap? Signed, Grant in Tulsa. What's up, Grant? You're on the air.
Hey, number one, going to buy Iafredi a house in Long Beach because I don't want him in Tulsa.
Iafredi.
Iafredi.
Okay. That's not a good call. No.
You don't like he could not have butchered that any worse, nor could he have been any happier with himself. This guy's like just dropping the mic, like, oh, let me step back, take a look at what I just did. I'm going to buy Iafredi in Long Beach a house because I don't want his ass in Tulsa. Oh, yeah, I went there. You tell me how my Tulsa ass tastes. I went there.
Tell me
bro,
how
you mean Iray, not Iafredi. Iray is homeless. Iafredi's not, nor will he ever be. Iafredi is one of the most talented, most intelligent guys I know. Let's go to L.A., Matt in L.A. Matty, what's up?
Romy, man, I just passed Noah on the way to work, but never mind that. Hey, dude, first off, Matt the Cooch, let me tell you something, brother. You just played yourself, bro. I'm a Mexican-American, Romy, and that caddy, first off, that stunt he pulled, Cooch, that wouldn't have gone by stateside. Only reason why he tried that is because he was south of the border. And now, he better either save face and cut dude 150 GER check, which is the right to do it. And I said 150. Make up for it. If not, he better not never show his face below south of the border. I ain't playing with you, Romy. He might end up somewhere in a hotel room with kidneys on ice. And you know what? I don't wish nothing on the worst on nobody, but that's jungle karma that's going to bite you in the ass, Cooch. Unwar, unethical, and unwar any bags that make $1 million and can't even give a damn 10% tip. Outro.
Matt in L.A. Matt in L.A. said, I don't wish anything bad on anybody, but bro, if he ever goes south of the border, he might end up in a hotel room with his kidneys on ice. But I don't wish any ill will of anybody. Wow, man. Easy, Scarface. All right, now it's getting graphic. Just do the right thing for the four reasons I mentioned. God, again, this is a guy that everybody loved. This is a guy that everybody loved. And what does it tell you? Now would be a very good time for me to reset what I always say. We don't know any of these guys. Because I never would have thought that a guy like that had that in him. Eddie Olczyk, when we come back, stay tuned.